the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We have in this third week of Easter the invitation to delve deeply into the mystery of our Lord and the most blessed sacrament. All week, the reading center on John 6, and we're at the very beginning of the Bread of Life discourse. And just as we heard in the gospel account of Emmaus yesterday, with hearts burning on fire as the scriptures are opened up and then their eyes opened and they recognize the Lord in the breaking of the bread, so too we're hoping for the same grace this week as we are called to enter into the resurrection of the Lord in a special way during the Easter season, this rising to a new level in spiritual life, rising to a new hope in the circumstances of our life, and rising to a new supernatural charity, which will inform all of our actions. And of course, the source and summit of that life of charity, we're here at Holy Mass, is our Lord, the most blessed sacrament. So we have this invitation. It's the Second Vatican Council, which gives us that source and summit in Lumen Gentium. We also hear this from Sacrosanctum Concilium. Our Savior, at the Last Supper, instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood. This he did in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the ages until he should come again. The revelation he made to St. Margaret Mary just holds true. How I thirst to be loved by you in this most blessed sacrament. It's the same reality, the sacrifice of Jesus, that's perpetuated throughout all of history. It's the same love propelled him to mount the cross, and it's the same love that propelled him to give himself by this deliberate act at the Last Supper to institute the sacrament. How Jesus wishes to be with us. He is Emmanuel. He's radically Emmanuel, to be with. And as he's the incarnate Word of God, there are limits to what can be achieved in the body. Consequently, how also he longs and longed to suffer his passion and so enter into his glory so he can be with. He can be with us in this most intimate way of ways. It goes right back to the book of Genesis with the tree of life, that which was promised, which they did not, what they were not able to consume because of scaling up the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so this fruit of the tree of life is given to us in the most blessed sacrament, all things being restored and even more so. So we look at the structure, we see that the people that follow Jesus across the sea, Jesus convicts these people of not seeking him because they have seen signs, but because they've had their fill of the loaves. So the default setting for the entire structure of what we're getting into is that he wants the people, he wants us to seek him in signs, in these signs. And those signs in this new creation are sacramental signs. They are parts of the new creation that's like a hybrid of the old creation, right? You've got real bread, you've got real wine, part of the fallen creation that's just infused with divine realities, transubstantiation. And so too with all the sacraments, making use of matter and part of the fallen creation, but carrying a divine reality. And so this is what we're plugging into, and this is the overarching structure to seek the Lord in signs. And in verse 30, we'll hear tomorrow, this is why the people ask, well, what kind of sign are we going to seek for? Like our fathers, they were given manna in the desert. So this whole context of bread coming up. Even the word Eucharisto or Eucharisantos is in the gospel for today, where the Lord, this is following in John 6 after the multiplication of the loaves, where they had eaten the bread and the Lord giving thanks, not giving thanks being this word in the Greek, Eucharisantos. And our Lord giving a very solemn statement when he introduces Amen, Amen, and convicting them why they're seeking him, the motivation of their hearts. And why so solemn? Well, he's basically dividing mankind into two categories, those who are spiritual, those who are carnal. The spiritual seek signs. The spiritual seek the sacraments. The spiritual plug into this reality that elevates man above the natural level. And there's a real razor. There's a real dividing point with those who seek Jesus in this way and those who seek Jesus carnally, who seek to be filled because, in the words of St. James, their God is their belly. Seek to be filled at the natural level, the health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel, which they're seeking Christ, but why are they seeking Christ? And so a major difference here, and hence, Amen, Amen, I say to you, you seek me because, And so we also pose that question to ourselves this day as well. Okay, so our Lord knows the hearts, and this goes back to, I mean, you know, is it an overly harsh judgment of our Lord? Well, we hear in verse 14 of John 6, when they had seen what a sign Jesus had done with the multiplication of the loaves, we've seen a sign, they say this, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. And then Jesus is out of there because they want to come by force to make him king. And if we have these two realities, they acknowledge him as prophet, let's make him a king that will have everything that we need. See, this is going back to the natural inclination. We want the land of plenty. The other thing that they could have gone to, which they didn't, was the priest. This is the prophet, and he's also our high priest. And of course, the priest, the fulfillment of Melchizedek with the bread and wine, which they are about to learn about. Okay, so not to work for the food that perishes. In the words of Ecclesiasticus, all the labor of man is for his mouth, everything on the natural level, so we can survive, the instinct of self-preservation. But work for that food which abides unto life everlasting, which the Son of Man will give you. And then, well, how are we supposed to work for a food that's going to be given to us? Why do we have to work for a food that's going to be given to us? Isn't it simply just a passive receiving? No, because verse 29, the work of God is to believe in Christ. The work of God, we got this kind of equivalency. The work is to believe. And by syllogism, if we go back to the statement we were just looking at, is this. We believe, right? The first statement was working for a food that's to be given to us. Substitute what we just learned. We believe in the food that is to be given to us. We believe. What's the content of that belief? Jesus is about to explain what the content of that belief is to be, what this sign is to be. And consequently, we hear in verse 56, my flesh is food indeed, but there are some of you that do not believe. So metaphorically, we can even think of 2 Thessalonians. If any among you is not willing to work, or if any among you are not willing to believe, let that one not eat. The Eucharist is not for unbelievers. The Eucharist is for those who are initiated into the sacred mysteries of the faith. Consequently, the whole preparation, RCIA, kind of recapitulating the old process of catechesis and the mystagogy, of those that are initiated, they know. Not everyone knows, not everyone believes. And again, the razor between the two. Okay, then we come to John 6:26. It's a food that abides into everlasting life. It abides. And this, it gets at the very heart of the desire of the Son of God to be with. Because as this food abides, the whole Gospel of St. John, as we come out of the prologue, begins with disciples seeking, they're coming from John the Baptist, they're going to our Lord, where do you abide? Where do you abide? This is a food that abides. And we have in the Gospel of St. Luke, just yesterday, the road to Emmaus. Abide with us. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. A beautiful cry of the heart, which is a response in the grace of the very desire of Jesus to be with us. And then they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And lastly, we have in verse 57, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. This abiding, this wanting to be with us. And this is our Emmanuel, Jesus. So this is the source and summit of our life, of the Christian life. All other sacraments, all other ecclesiastical ministries, works of the apostolate are bound up with the Eucharist and are oriented towards it. We talk to someone about the faith. We give them a scapular. We give them a miraculous medal. That's great. It's all ordered for this consummating union with our Lord. And to have that always in mind, that this is the greatest of gifts, our Lord himself, that we can share with another. And it's also the greatest of gifts that we can share with ourselves and to be renewed with our Lord saying again, how I thirst to be loved by you in this most blessed sacrament. Thank you.
Christus.